David Cameron came to office on a no ifs, no buts pledge to slash net migration. This morning, we learn just how much that promise has been broken. Latest figures reveal the Tories have missed their target by a country mile. Net migration last year was almost 300,000. That's more than when the coalition came to power. The government's pledge of getting immigration below 100,000 by May 2015 lies in tatters this morning, as new figures show that net migration has risen to just under 300,000. That number for the year ending September 2014 is just nowhere near David Cameron's promise. It's well above, indeed, the level of net migration when David Cameron came to power in 2010. According to the Office for National Statistics, net migration, that's the difference between those coming into the country long-term and those leaving long-term, was 298,000 in the year to last September. That's an increase of 88,000 on the previous 12 months. And not only is David Cameron nowhere near his target, net migration is now actually 54,000 more than when he came to power in 2010. Now, this is not what the government promised. Here's the Prime Minister in 2011.
If we take the steps set out today, if we deal with all the different avenues of migration, legal and illegal, levels of immigration can return to where they were in the 1980s and 1990s when immigration was not a front-rank political issue. And I believe that that will mean net migration to this country will be in the order of tens of thousands each year, not the hundreds of thousands every year that we've seen over the last decade. Yes, Britain will always be open to the best and the brightest from around the world and those fleeing persecution. But with us, our borders will be under control and immigration will be at levels our country can manage. No ifs, no buts. This is a promise we made to the British people and it is a promise we are keeping.
Well, that was the Prime Minister 4 years ago. Now, naturally, we asked to speak to a Conservative minister this morning. None was available, certainly not made available to us. We then said, could we speak to any Conservative backbencher on this issue? No Conservative backbencher was available either. If we had a Conservative representative on, I would have asked the Conservative why not only had the target been missed, but why it had been missed by so much. It should have been under 100,000, according to the pledge. It's now close to 300,000, missed by three times. I would have asked why was it that the pledge had been made in the first place, because the government doesn't control the numbers coming in from the EU. And if the excuse was that they couldn't do that, but they controlled anybody coming in from outside of the EU, I would have asked why was it that even non-EU net migration was up by 49,000 to 292,000. Indeed, migration from outside the EU, I would have asked, is higher now than migration from those coming from inside the EU. Well, maybe at some stage in the weeks ahead, as the election campaign hots up, we'll get the chance to ask these questions, but we don't have the chance to do it this morning. However, we are joined by the UKIP migration spokesman, Stephen Wolfe, and by Labour's Shadow Immigration Minister, David Hanson. David Hanson, in the year to September, 624,000 long-term migrants came to this country. Is that too much?
I think we do need to get it lower, Andrew. But the story today is really the government's failed target. They promised to get net migration.
No, I know all that. I've done that, and I've done some pretty tough questions, which isn't usually done, and we've empty-seated the Conservative. They're not here to defend themselves. That's their fault. What I want to know from you is 624,000, about the size of the population of Manchester in 1 year. Is that too much?
We've got to get migration down, but we have to look at the needs of the British economy. Nobody I speak to, and anywhere across the country, wants to talk about lack of students, for example, coming to universities, or, for example, doctors going to hospitals, or, for example, skill shortages in some of our key areas like engineering and science.
So how much would you like to get it down by?
Well, we've got to just have a managed migration policy. And for me...
How much?
Well, there's no figure for that, Andrew. I'm looking at the interests of the UK economy.
So there's no way we can judge you then. I mean, you say you want to get it down, but you won't even give us a ballpark figure, perhaps learning from the Prime Minister's experience on that, because it's not exactly it's salutary in a way. But there's no way we can judge you if you don't give us some kind of ballpark by which to measure you against.
Well, I'm interested in the needs of the British economy, Andrew. That means students, that means doctors, that means engineers.
Right. I understand
and it means
that.
Individuals so generally.
Is there anything wrong with 624,000 people coming to this country as long-term migrants?
No, but some of the people coming to this country, Andrew, and there's 38,000 in this latest figure, are coming without a job from Europe. Now, I think that's wrong.
But you can't stop that.
Well, we can, because we can put in place, for example, issues to do with some of the poll drivers, such as employment, unemployment benefit,
such as child benefit.
Those are the key issues.
You're talking about 38,000 out of 624,000. Is that it?
No, I think there are issues where we need to look at controlling migration, and we need to do that in an effective way. It was Labour that put the point system in place that is managing external to EU migration.
After having opposed the point system when the Conservatives proposed it in 2005.
Well, I think it's important. We've done
that. Why did you propose it, then change your mind?
We have put
so
in place...
So why did you oppose it, then change your mind?
We've put in place a point system which is fair and proper, which manages...
But why did you oppose it when it was proposed?
And I'm talking about what we're going to do. What we're going to do is fair migration. We need to look at...
So were you wrong to oppose the point system when Michael Howard suggested it and campaigned on it in 2005?
Well, we put the point system in place.
So were you wrong to oppose it?
Andrew, we put the point system in place. I was in the Home Office at the time. We put the point system in place. Judges on what we've done.
Well, what you did was net migration was even higher under you. It was 320,000 in 2005.
Andrew, net migration in May 2010 was 252,000.
But it reached 320,000 in 2005. It was even higher than the 300,000 under this government.
When we left office, Andrew, net migration was 252,000. It is now 298,000. And the government's target is missing students, it's missing the needs of our economy, it's missing employment, it's missing entrepreneurs. And it's damaging our economy.
So you want more?
No, it's a meaningless target, Andrew, because if you and I left today, we'd be contributing to the success of the government's
target. I understand
that,
but it was the target your government had as well. Your government mentioned... I understand there's a strong case for saying it's meaningless in two areas. One, it's a net figure, so it's a difference between two very large figures. That's never a useful statistic. Yeah. Secondly, it includes things you can't control, by and large, EU migration. And thirdly, it includes students.
Indeed.
Which may not be the sensible thing to do. No. But throughout 13 years of Labour government, you had all of these three things as part of your statistics.
But I am now, as the immigration shadow for our party, saying we would remove students from the immigration target. We would do that. That's a sensible measure. I've met with university vice-chancellors this week who are saying we're losing fees, losing world influence and losing spending power.
That's an interesting proposition. How many would that take out of the 624,000?
That would take out around about 80,000 people, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, so there would still be about 550,000... But coming in.
But the key question is, Andrew, what
are
the needs?
Is that good or bad?
Well, what are the needs of the UK economy and how do we manage that? That's the key issue we need to look at. We need a much more targeted approach to look at the needs of the UK economy.
Does UKIP have a target?
Yes, we do.
What is it?
You're quite right. Let's deal with the first point. Is this too many people coming into the country? The answer is yes. Are they not controlled or managed by either the Labour Party or the Conservative Party? The answer is yes. Does there need to be a radical review of how we deal with the net migrations? The answer is yes. And what we have suggested, and I've put proposals before, is that for a five-year period, we would look at a gross figure for employment of those who have the right for permanent residence in this country of 50,000.
So you would only allow 50,000 people into the country?
Now let's analyse the numbers, because you've got to be absolutely clear, David.
No, I'm interested. Tell me.
So you're talking roughly over 200,000 at the moment who are coming here for employment purposes. They're a mix.
Net?
That's the gross numbers out of the 600,000 that are coming each period that we're looking at. So you've got to analyse that. And then from that, you've got about 190,000 who are now in the year of the students. And I've proposed...
You would take students out?
Absolutely. I think that's got to be a clear proposal so that we can focus more directly on other areas. We would keep asylum as it is because we've got responsibilities. You have to analyse the family numbers that are in there as...
Right. But I'm still not clear. What would you regard... Well, let me be more basic than this.
Yes.
Would you have net migration as a target?
No. We'd have gross numbers.
You would go gross.
Gross numbers,
right.
As a target.
So what would your gross target be?
As I say, in terms of employment, 50,000 for those who have the right to work with the option for permanent residence here. That's a very significant part because we would still have flexibility to work with businesses and universities for the part-time and short-term contracts. You have to take that out. That would take out over 167,000 from these numbers each year. What I'm also very important to consider, as I say, when we're dealing with the university students. Take them out, because that's quite a significant number, and we can balance that in a different way.
But if only 50,000 are coming in, would you make a distinction between those coming in from the EU and from the non-EU?
No, not at all.
I mean, so that's together.
So that's together.
That's absolutely together. And that's why when I say that we have a UK points-based system, that everybody who wants to apply to the United Kingdom would come in on the same system.
But of course,
it's a significant drop.
No, no, you put the case. I want to get the Labour's reaction.
In how that will impact upon the 4.5 million British citizens who live abroad, including the nearly 2 million citizens who live in the EU. If we get into tit for tat, you say it won't happen. If we're putting in place that sort of control in a wider Europe, what happens to the 1.5 to 2 million Brits who live in France, Spain, Italy and the rest of Europe at the moment?
Well, let's put it in the case that I've suggested before, is that those EU citizens that are already here, we would say to them that you have come here, you were invited here, you had the right to work here, you have the right to stay. Now, it's up to the other European unions to actually, in my belief, follow the ethical principle of saying you were invited to live there and work there for those 2.5 million, that they should stay as well.
Are you sure the British economy could survive if only 50,000 people are allowed to come in?
No, I'm talking in terms of those with the permanent rights of residence. That's got to be a very important part of work. And yes, I've been recently communicating UKIP's policy and discussing it with senior business people. Across the country, there are concerns. They say, well, what about the low-skilled workers that come in to fill my distribution centres? I can't get them from Britain. I'm saying, sorry, there are. You have to look at the apprenticeship schemes. You're not working hard enough in terms of that. You have to look at the fact that only...
You're kind of pretty much closing our borders, aren't you?
No, absolutely not.
You're letting a small trickle of people in of which you approve.
But Andrew, what you've got to look at the fact that even David will agree, you're seeing significant numbers of EU migrants now becoming unemployed, having come here. You talked about 38,000.
That's in the latest figure.
Yes, and in terms of those figures. But so we do have people that have come from other countries that are beginning to swell the unemployment figures. And isn't it ethically responsible for governments to look at our unemployed and say, we need to work and match you to the jobs that are out there?
But it's
and a lot of the jobs, David, a lot of the jobs we're talking about are low-skilled, low-wage, and we've got huge number of zero-hour contracts. That's what they're being made.
But, of course, since you're going to have very tough restrictions on Spaniards, French, Italians, Germans coming to this country, it stands to reason they're going to put very tough restrictions on British people going there, aren't they? Why would they not?
And, Andrew, if I may say so.
Well, let me get an answer now, can't you? Why would they not?
Well, you know, they have to consider their own economy.
So they could be. So we could be restricted in our ability to go to France or Spain or Italy, correct?
Let's put it, they could use the modal verb could. I don't think they would, to use another modal.
Why don't you?
Absolutely, we don't know, and I think that's the speculation that people make.
There's 400,000 Brits live in Spain at the moment. There's 173,000 Brits live and work in France at the moment as well. So people who wanted to follow them in future would be at grave risk under your plan.
Well, I would say to them, obviously, we've already got the majority of those people who have settled and retired. There's actually a smaller percentage of those who work. And actually, lots more people go to America, Canada, than actually do settle in the European Union.
I can see a lot of benefits in immigrants.
But, Ivan, you do accept that there is a big distinction between highly skilled workers, that we get a lot of those in London and the city and in service sectors, and also the impact of low wages by large-scale migration. Every report has done so. Only 2 days ago, the UCL report stated exactly
that
once more.
But the vast majority of people coming into this country have got degrees, for instance, 62% of them, rather than 24% of them in the UK, and the value of the education they bring in is something like £49 billion.
What about the value of people?
David Hans, I'll give you the final word.
Well, I think we need to look at some of the other issues. For example, we're talking about low wages, enforcement of the minimum wage, extending gangmaster legislation, supported actually by the deputy mayor of London.
Why didn't you think of all that when you were in power and letting 320,000 net in?
I think you'll find, Andrew, that we took through the minimum wage in office, opposed by the Conservatives.
But how many people did you prosecute?
More than the Conservatives. There were three last year for the Conservatives. There were seven times that more under Labour. But the minimum wage came in 1998, opposed by the Conservative Party.
That's not the issue.
The key issue for us, Andrew, is giving local councils the power to enforce the minimum wage
All right.
and to extend gangmaster legislation.
OK, we'll leave it there. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.